Chapter 48. Orlin.
What in blazes could have possessed Tide to go in there?
Orlin stood outside the small trinket shop and stared up at the faded signs swinging out front. Both sides of the gloomy lane were surrounded by 3- and 4-story buildings that blocked all light from the sun. There were very few shops in use down the narrow passageway, and those that had taken up residence were of such a nature that traffic up and down the dimly lit lane was all but non-existent.
"I don't see any lights on inside," Faeldor said in a relieved sort of tone. "Maybe she's gone."
Orlin grunted as he shifted his weight to his other foot.
"If only we could be so lucky."
Faeldor pulled his cloak tight around his shoulders. He pinched the material at the neck to hold in the warmth, while at the same time blocking the wind that whipped its way in and around the larger structures.
"This place gives me the shivers."
He eyed the darkened second-story windows.
"And in more ways than one."
"Aye,"
Orlin said, as he glanced at his longtime friend. Faeldor's hair was even more tousled than usual, strands sticking out in all directions.
"Are you ready?"
Faeldor raised his hand, palm facing outward towards the lonely stretch of dark alley behind them, and the breeze immediately ceased, leaving behind an eerie sort of calm.
"Now I'm ready."
Orlin scanned both sides of the quiet lane. After assuring himself that there was no one coming, he held his staff out in front and concentrated. The intricate weave of runes encircling the length of wood, like a beetle vine growing around the trunk of a large pine, pulsed a soft green.
"Let's go."
The two men slowly made their way toward the front entrance. Carefully, they inspected the door, windows, and archway, looking for any sign of hidden traps or magical weave. Once they were satisfied, Orlin reached out and twisted the rusty handle. He gave a small push, and the door opened. A bell, hanging from the top of the door jamb, announced their arrival. They waited a moment to let their eyes adjust to the darkness before stepping inside.
"You see anything?"
Faeldor asked, arching his neck around the other side of the door to get a better look.
"No, I don't. But that doesn't mean there isn't someone here."
Orlin was the first to step inside. He raised his staff, and the runes brightened. Faeldor followed him in.
"Doesn't look like anyone's here. Keep your eyes open. If this woman is a dark witch, and has managed to stay hidden all this time, I doubt she is without talent."
"We could have really used Velden on this,"
Faeldor said, as he shuffled through some dusty odds and ends on a nearby shelf and came away with a small lamp.
"If not for any better reason than to give us some additional light. Here, blow me a tinderbox, will you?"
Orlin sighed. "Where's yours? I didn't figure I'd need to carry one, what with you and your walk-in storage robes."
Orlin rolled his eyes, then dug around in one of the many inner pockets woven into his baggy garments and handed a small box over to Faeldor. The glassblower quickly lit the lamp's wick and, raising it high enough for the light to reach clear to the far side of the room, he started forward.
"I'll take this side,"
Orlin said, as he started working his way down the left aisle. He stopped every couple of steps to listen for any sounds coming from the back room or the apartments above, but the place seemed devoid of life. It felt to Orlin like walking through an undisturbed tomb. The boards under his feet groaned as he shifted his weight. Ty wasn't exaggerating when he had talked about the unique assortment of dangerous-looking artifacts. Orlin held up his staff to get a better look at the small, shriveled faces hanging in the corner.
Interesting.
What is? Feldor asked, as he finished his survey of the right side of the room, and walked over.
I found an odd assortment of weapons, and a couple of shelves of old tomes.
Wow! Are those real?
He joined Orlan in staring at the heads. He spared a quick look down the counter in front of where Orlan was standing, before turning his attention back to the shriveled craniums.
Anything of value over here?
Feldor was clearly having just as hard a time pulling himself away from the desiccated faces as Orlan. Orlan finally managed to direct his attention elsewhere.
We should check the back room and the residential chambers. I was afraid you were going to say that.
Feldor groaned at the idea, but kept to Orlan's heels as they headed for the open doorway at the back. The room was all but empty, save for a four-legged table, a single stool, and what looked like a black piece of quartz lying on top. Orlan was about to head over to the table to get a closer look at the rock when Feldor grabbed his arm.
Did you hear that?
Orlan stopped. He strained his ears, hoping to catch what Feldor had heard. He scanned the dim room, moving his staff in a circular pattern to chase away the shadows from the dark corners. He looked at Feldor and shook his head.
I don't hear anything.
Feldor slowly released the air he had been holding.
I don't like this. Something about this place doesn't feel right. It feels like we're being watched.
Orlan couldn't argue with that. He'd been struggling with the same sensation ever since they walked through the front door. Slowly, they did another sweep of the room and again came up empty. There was a door at the back leading up to the living quarters. Orlan pointed his staff at the door, and Feldor reluctantly nodded. Moving up the stairs, they kept to the outer, less noisy edges. The stairs were narrow, and the ceiling lower than Orlan would have liked. He found himself bending at the waist, so as not to rake the top of his head. It didn't take long to make a sweep of the rooms. Most were empty. There was a single bedroom, with a modest trundle bed, a small dresser, and a large chiffer robe. Everything was layered in dust and blanketed in cobwebs. It was as if no one had stepped foot in this section of the building for at least a decade.
I'm starting to wonder if anyone's lived here in years.
Feldor grunted.
Maybe she's a ghost.
Orlan rolled his eyes and forced out a breath that vibrated his lips. He passed a final glance around the untouched room before heading back downstairs. With a sigh of relief, they left the shop and shut the door behind them. Stepping out into the vacant alleyway, they turned back to stare at the run-down building.
Well, that seemed lackluster,
Orlan said, feeling almost disappointed at not having found something more.
I'm telling you, there is something about this place.
Feldor made a chattering sound with his teeth.
I know what you mean.
Orlan stared at the old curtains hanging from the bedroom window on the second floor. He thought he caught some movement, but after a while, he chalked it up to his own imagination.
I think we best keep an eye on it all the same. That would be a good idea. And since your shop is the closest, I volunteer you for the job.
Feldor patted Orlan on the shoulder before heading back up the narrow lane. Orlan, finally pulling himself away from his examination of the bedroom window, grunted and quickly followed him out.